This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. From streaming to shopping, Prime helps you get more out of your passions. So whether you're a fan of true crime or prefer a nail-biting novel from time to time, with services like Prime Video, Amazon Music, and fast free delivery, Prime makes it easy to get more out of whatever you're into or getting into. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to learn more.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Halliburton, he'll slam it with a right hand.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And the Eastern Conference Championship has been captured by the Indiana Pacers.
The Rich Eisen Show.
What is the Giannis latest?
We don't talk about the Knicks that much. That's the one that tugs at me a bit.
Earlier on the show, actor Jason Schwartzman, lead voice of the NBA on ESPN. Mike Breen, coming up, writer and director Kevin Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Fun stuff already over the last 2 hours, first 2 hours, which you can catch up on by rewatching us on the Roku channel or our YouTube channel. It's always out there as a nice backstop, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, closing in on 940,000 followers, subscribers to our channel there, however you want to term it. Fun stuff as well on our podcast version of the show, all 3 hours. No Contest Wrestling is recording as soon as we're done here, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Does that mean O'Shea is going to be joining us at the end of the third hour, or just it's at his pleasure whether
Night he said he wants to come in early. I think he has something to say to Brockman.
Okay, that's great. Awesome. That'll be fun. So Brockman's like, stay tuned for that.
Is it fake Dodger fan O'Shea Jackson? Like crowing about his team?
Listen. How dare you call O'Shea Jackson Jr. a fake Dodger fan when Mike Del Tufo's sitting to your left?
Exactly.
I mean, no, Mike, that was a shot
at you. I know exactly where you're coming.
He gave Del Tufo the blessing.
I got the blessing to be. I could be dual fan.
Let me ask you a question. Prior to this program, was it yours truly, or was it that guy to your left lamenting how difficult it was to lose 18-2 to the Dodgers on Saturday?
It was this guy.
That's correct.
I did. Because
how are you a Dodger fan and calling that terrible? Actually, it worked out for you, Mike, because your team won 18-2.
Well, it was like 14 runs when I left.
Excuse me.
Because I got to beat the traffic.
I understand that. But if you find that beatdown.
Yes.
Horrible, disappointing, whatever. Wouldn't that indicate to you? You are not a Dodger fan, but in fact, the Yankee fan that you have been for decades.
Like I was like Shohei. I needed to take a nap because I had to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning the next day.
I mean, you don't have to.
If you're not going to answer the questions, then I won't engage you with the questions. Answer the question.
I was happy on Friday night. I was happy on Saturday sad. Why were you? The Yankees got the kicked out of
it. I think I have proven my point.
I'm dual fan.
I went Friday night and Sunday. And
Sunday was a good day.
I'll tell you, Friday night was, it started great. By the way, I did not know this. Cooper, who is to my left, told me it's the first time ever that reigning most valuable players homered in the same inning of the same game. When Judge hit a top of the first home run on Friday night, and then Ohtani took the first pitch he saw from Max Fried out the building in the bottom half of the first. Wow. That's the first time reigning most valuable players. Well, I imagine because it was rare back in the day. There was no interleague play back in the day. So it's the first time the reigning American and National League most valuable players homered in the same inning of the same game. And let me just tell you something. You might hear it because Mike Del Tufo's colleagues are as good as he is at their jobs.
Or better.
While you're sitting at home, the sound the ball makes when both of these guys connect, you just know, you know.
Yeah.
You know the sound of it. It's really unbelievable.
Yeah.
Watching these two guys. And when both of them stand at the plate, it's imposing. Just sitting in the stands. I can't imagine what it's like on the bump. But, yeah, the Dodgers took care of business in the first two games, and the Yankees got the third game last night, and that was dynamite. Now we've loosened them up for you guys to come in here. The Metropolitan's coming in.
Let's go.
Let's see. Soto's hitting the ball a little bit.
Some will prove it was under against less than competition.
No, it's
but baseball's mental.
Just whatever, get
it
man.
Get That's it, man.
Polar Bear's been awesome.
Is he over 230 yet?
Ooh, good Soto? Good question.
I think he's
weight.
What did he say?
He's hitting his weight.
What did I tell you about that, bro?
He's at 233.
I can do that. I'm big.
Okay. Don't make me.
Big bone people are allowed to mock out big bone people.
All right. So there's that.
Come over there.
Right now, would it be a Phillies Tigers World Series? Is that what it would be right now? Two best teams in their respective leagues.
So the Tigers are 39-21. That's the best record in baseball.
Yeah, except for the Mets. You're a little off on
Mets
that.
Mets are above the Phillies.
Come on,
Cubs too. Mets
back
and Cubs
on top like we never left.
Yeah. Cubbies
are
man.
Also 37-22. Cubs?
Crow Armstrong, Harvard Westlake's finest from Southern California.
Sneaky NL MVP, right?
How is he not? Certainly isn't Soto.
Well, Ohtani is.
Might be Alonso or Lindor, who's passed Derek Jeter on the home run list this weekend. That was nice.
I've never heard somebody who is as imposing as Ohtani. He introduced by Michael Bublé. That's his walk-up song.
Yeah, and I'm feeling good. Bublé told us that, right? That he had been tipped off.
It's Ohtani's walk-up song. He plays a little Bublé. He tips his cap to the opposing manager, and then he takes the Yankees ace out the park.
Well, you were at the game, so you didn't hear Buster Olney was like, he's the only player in Major League Baseball who says hello to the umpire before each at bat.
That's the only one, really?
That's
Buster
what he says.
Knows that.
That's what Buster said.
Buster knows that.
Buster has the info.
Never heard of it. He has the info. Only one who says hello to the Major League.
I can't believe it. I can't turn
around and goes, hello?
I would do that.
I would definitely.
Did you say hello?
I say hi to you every day.
Hey, guys.
Umpires are the enemy. They're enemy.
You don't like it when we say hi to you. When I say hi to you, it's just a segment. So what do you mean you would say hi to the umpire?
Well, when you do it, it's like a pitch clock violation.
like
the clock's ticking.
He's like David Ortiz.
Come on, come on.
That's what I'm doing. And then I award myself a ball. That's what I do. So the Madden covers out, everybody.
Oh, baby.
Madden covers out. And it is, in fact, now this is big here. This is big because everybody knows this is apparently a jinx. You don't want to be this guy because the next season doesn't go well for you more often than not. And it's kind of like our takes around here. Like if they're great, we'll bring it back. Look how great we were. And if they're bad, we memory hole it. Doesn't happen. So we memory hole the ones who don't get jinxed. But there's no surprise. It is, in fact, Saquon Barkley.
Ooh,
and the cover is of him jumping over backwards.
I mean,
that's the Madden 26 cover. Now, that's no surprise, right? That it's Saquon. It's the 2,000-yard rusher. It's the guy who was Mr. Fantasy Football of last season.
No surprise.
Makes sense.
No surprise.
And he's the guy who does video game moves on the field, including this one.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if the folks in Madden do have that. Is if you hit a button in a certain way, does he jump backwards over somebody?
I mean, they better.
He should be the only one you could do that with.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Do you see that they were kind enough to scrub the uniform logo and number off of the defensive back that Barkley did this on over the season? In the season.
I do see that.
If you are a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars, do you go up to Jerry and Jones and say, hey, You made the Madden cover.
I put a big poster up in his locker.
Do you do that?
Locker.
Well,
or you leave that one alone.
Here's the problem. They recreated this in a studio. It's not the real photo. It's not the real play. It's there's
video.
I know.
I, wanna,
so I feel like that's kind of lame.
Why?
They should have used the real photo.
Well, I mean,
the real play was the greatest play we've ever seen.
I hear you.
What do you need to recreate it with all the movie magic for?
You're missing the opportunity here that normally you would just take out of the. Would you go up to your teammate and say you made the
every
Madden
single
cover?
Day?
I put the poster in his locker.
I would remind him. Yep. How he got absolutely punked in an NFL game.
Right.
Saquon jumped over you backwards. Jumping over someone, you know, is not new. Everyone does it now. Backwards?
Yeah. So, I will go out on the limb and say this. There will be no jinxes.
Oh, Rich Eisen, be careful. Be careful. You're tempting fate.
I know you're rooting for the curse.
Oh, but yeah, that's all I need. That's all I got, man.
Why is that all you have?
Because they're too good.
Yeah.
You got George Pickens.
We do, but this team is excellent. And the fact is, you know, Schwartzman talked about Howie. You know, the fact that Howie and I, had a very pleasant exchange when he zoomed in, upset me because now I think we like each other.
Yes.
So that makes it even worse. So, yeah, I need something.
I am going to tell you. That this team is so damn good.
Yeah, we know.
How good are they?
How good are they?
There will be no jinx.
You don't know that, Rich.
I'm just telling you right now.
You ain't a member
There's
of the
too
jinx
much
committee.
Good stuff. Jalen Hurts.
They lost another coordinator.
Did you see the video of Jalen Hurts delivering the title to a girls' flag football team in the state of Pennsylvania?
Jalen Hurts is the man.
He showed up. The young ladies were flipping out.
The ladies love Jalen.
Well, because he's attractive.
Well, no, that's not it. It's a girls' flag football team. How dare you?
Well, girls like boys.
Stop it. It's just in. No, it was the quarterback of their team.
Oh, okay.
The Super Bowl MVP taking time out of his day to make their day.
Oh, that's nice, too.
Yes, it is. What's the matter with you people?
And where another thing, Bart,
it's 11-11.
So I'm about to do something I have not yet done.
Jets win loss. Let's go.
Whoa. No, I'm choosing the Philadelphia Eagles win.
Hey.
Whoa, yes.
Yeah, okay. To put my money where my mouth is.
All right.
I haven't done this yet. I haven't looked at the schedule other than the fact that I know it's really tough.
Oh, yeah.
There will be no jinx. I need the music. And I will tell you this, Rocky Balboa, if Sylvester Stallone is not in Philadelphia on that opening Thursday night, I will be stunned.
All right, Raku.
Okay. The Tulsa King will be there. The banner will be there. And I know this is a piece of steak that the league put out there. Going to set records for opening night. We're going to see a win for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay. That's one. Sorry, TJ.
Then they're going to go to the Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to go to Arrowhead Stadium. And this is going to be a Philadelphia Eagles win as well.
Oh, as good as the Super Bowl type win? No. Or what are we talking about?
It's going to be tight.
Okay.
Tight. It's going to be tight.
Tight.
Of course it will be.
What do you mean, of course it will be? Everyone said that about the Super Bowl.
But this is another year. It's both teams going to be all jacked up.
Okay.
And I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win that game.
All right.
And then I think they come home. And they do to the Rams what they did to the Rams last year, too. I you know how I feel about the Rams.
I know.
I'm going 3-0 there. Oof. And then they're going to Tampa Bay and saying, this business of us losing down here is over.
Done with it.
They will be done with it.
They're going to take that pirate ship back to
or no.
Philly.
That will be the end of that. Okay. Then they're going to have the Denver Broncos in their midst. And this one is going to be another tight one. They're going to win this one, too.
Ooh.
They're going to start 5-0, and then they're going to go to the Giants and say hello and be 6-0.
Are they going to be the last undefeated team?
I don't know the answer to that question. I haven't played. This is the first win-loss game that I've done, and I'm doing this truly off the top of my head. Okay. I didn't even see this stuff.
All right.
Okay. Then they're going to the Minnesota Vikings. They're going to lose this one.
Oh.
Ooh.
They're going to lose this one. It's going to be skull chant, and it's going to be one of those things where you're just going to be like, what the hell was that all about? Then they're going to come down against the Giants. They're going to take care of business there. That's going to be 7-1. Then they're going to take on the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay coming off of the bye, and that one they're going to lose.
Ooh.
I think the Packers are going to have them there. And then we're going to start saying, oh, what's going on here? And then the Lions are going to come into their house. They're going to win that one, too. They're going to go to Dallas. They're going to lose that one. I think you're going to take them.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely splitting.
I think you're splitting. You know, okay.
Dak has a great record against the
NFL. Chicago the day after Thanksgiving. That's a win. So what do I have now? I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 3. Okay. The Chargers are at the Chargers here. They're going to lose that one.
Wow.
You know, a lot of Eagles fans at that game.
I get it. Jim's going to take that one.
All right.
Even though they love coming out here and winning. So they're 9-4. Home for the Vegas Raiders. That's a win. At the Commanders on a Saturday. That's a loss. And everyone's going to start wondering what's up with them because they're now trading wins and losses right now, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 10-5. They're at the Buffalo Bills. They lose that one. 2 in a row. And they beat the Commanders. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 6.
11 and 6.
Wow.
Okay.
That's me.
I'm looking at the Vegas win total.
What do you got?
11 and 6. Yeah, that's 11. And 11's a number.
So I guess those folks in Las Vegas and yours truly have something.
Yeah, you guys are
lockstep.
Yeah, over 11 and a half is plus 105.
NFC East winners, right?
It's possible.
They could tie with Dallas. I could see that you guys.
But they make the playoffs. There's no jinx. They're not going to go like 8-9, 7-10. That's the jinx. The jinx is like you're hurt. The whole season's in the tank. They're not getting jinxed. I mean, they're not. I don't know if they're going to be the one seed with 11-6. That's for sure. But I think I just gave them a whole bunch of respect going through this schedule this way.
Oh yeah.
And I think they're, you know, they're intact and they're good enough that in the beginning of the season, when a lot of teams are still trying to get up to speed, like Dallas, their new that new team. Mm-hmm. Well, the Chiefs, Bucks, Rams, and Broncos, that's tough. For me to have them go undefeated through all that is kind of crazy.
That's tough.
Chiefs have a make good after
I'm already
year.
I'm already lamenting. It's like a fantasy team. I drafted, I feel good, and then I'm like, wait a minute.
That Kansas City home game in Arrowhead? I can't give them that.
What about for Saquon personally being on? You're taking him number one in fantasy this year?
Why wouldn't you?
Would Bijan Robinson exist?
Okay. Okay.
Saquon's even money for 1,500 rush yards.
Saquon Barkley, if healthy... We'll do it again. What gives
do
you
what, do, wh- do
the
what?
Same season again?
2,000 yards again?
Or come close to it.
Come Woo. Close.
Why wouldn't he?
Wow.
Woo.
Dude, he's on. Saquon Barkley is going to show there's no jinx, and he's going to go on. Listen, you know I've been talking about him
since
he started torching the Wolverines.
I know.
I would come in here, and I would say, this guy, I can't stand him. But he's amazing. Please, he's on. This is his Hall of Fame trajectory. This is where he's going to make his Hall of Fame run. This is it. He's in his prime years. He's got a great team. He's got a coaching staff that knows what to do with him. Howie Roseman went ahead and paid him even better. He's got every reason to do what I am saying right now. It's just, will the football gods let him? Will they give him the opportunity? Or is he going to have one of those moments like he had with the Giants where all of a sudden, oh, God, damn it. He's thrown his helmet down because he knows that's a high ankle. Let's hope not. Al in Dallas, who knows a lot about that, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Al?
Gentlemen, 10 years ago, I called this show after I heard a ridiculous comment by my good friend now, Chris Brockman, talking about taking his shoes off in an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I'm sitting here trying to enjoy my lunch, and even though I defend them greatly all the time, the Mike Del Tufo rooting for the Dodgers and the Yankees has topped that. There is no way a Yankee fan who grew up the way Mike did should ever root for the Dodgers.
Correct.
I ever.
Correct.
Ever. It's
correct.
Like rooting, it's like me rooting for the Islanders. It's like me rooting for the Cowboys.
Correct.
It's like Rich rooting for the Dolphins.
That's correct.
It never should happen. It's atrocious and an atrocity.
Yes, sir. Correct use of atrocity.
You know,
in sports world, This is an atrocity. Yeah. It's just, it's over the top, right?
A little over the top.
It goes over the top. This is exactly.
My agent will speak later in the show.
No, there's no.
It's
no.
Shonda.
Great. And we're not talking about rhymes. No.
I'm bi-coastal.
It is. Well done.
Oh, God.
It is. Ow. Don't even bother, man.
Better than this, Mike.
Let me tell you something. As a Yankee fan sitting in this stadium, all right, after what happened last October in that stadium that I witnessed, of Freddie Freeman taking Nestor Cortez out, and last night, in front of the whole country, Aaron Boone did what he should have done on that night in game one with Freddie Freeman at home plate late in the game. He goes to the pen and he brings out Tim Hill. What does Tim Hill do? He struck him out. And I look at my son, I look at Coop. Coop looks at me. We're like, that should have happened last October. But no, let's bring in Nestor Cortez, who hasn't pitched in a month and isn't a reliever. And let's leave our lefty specialist who does this for a living to the point where he's called a specialist. This is a moment for the specialist. And instead, a nightmare happens. And it's the guy who does this whole thing with his dancing. And that's all they do. It's like, great, you got a double. You got a double, Edmund. Let me look at my guys and I'll do this dance. And whatever, and I know it's what like Freddie Freeman did at a wedding.
That's right? Cool. You don't like
and
the dance?
No, they're all having fun with each other. I get it, but at this point in time, it's obnoxious. It's obnoxious, and yes, part of that is because we can't stop it. I get it. No, I know it. I know it. But for you as a Yankee fan to do that and now put a Dodger fan hat on just because Felly pops it on his head when he's off camera.
Thanks, Jason.
Don't feed the animals, Jay.
Wait, what'd you say? I missed that.
Yeah, that's a disgrace. Now, Richard, can I say something positive now?
Please.
You know, like I said, I've been calling into the show for 10 years. I've met you several times.
Thank you.
On the staff in person. You've also met my family, and you know, I just wanted to give a shout out, if you don't mind. My daughter Maddie graduated high school, Richard, if you can believe this.
Hey, Maddie,
last week.
Congrats, Al.
And we have a great picture of you at the Dallas event where you were with my daughter and my wife, and my daughter is taking her talents to the University of Arkansas. So
excellent, big Suey, good job, Al. Thanks for the call, Al. Right. Congratulations.
Good job, Al.
Mazel tov.
Thanks, buddy.
There you go. We take that hat off. I can't have it.
It's also just embarrassing.
Give him his hat back.
Yes, it's an atrocity. It's embarrassing. You should feel embarrassed.
You should be embarrassed. Should be totally embarrassed.
We're back.
Jay.
Get Jason, thank you for that.
I can't believe you're Jason, just don't encourage this behavior.
Yeah,
don't
encourage. And props.
Don't encourage this behavior, Jay.
He accepted
don't
me,
encourage
too.
It.
I accept him.
You accepted me. O'Shea and Jason accepted me. I can be fans of
great
both.
Well, I excommunicate you. You may not be fans of both. Honestly, it's just a party. It was 5-2. Max Fried had the lead, and then all of a sudden it fell apart, and everybody's hitting extra base hit, this whole business. Oh, and then some of them even wind up and go in front of everybody, and it's just annoying. It's obnoxious, and I can't stand it. And it's one of those things, then stop it. I get it. I understand it. I know this is what's it's irrational. I get it. But to have this guy then say that you're fine with it.
That's
not fine with it.
That's the problem.
You're either with it or against it. You can't be doing both.
You need to sign. Get the certificate. You need to sign over your Yankee fandom.
No, we have to
sign it over.
Made it up.
My agent told me not. O'Shea Jackson Jr. told me not to sign anything. He is my agent.
Billy in Cleveland, T.J. Jefferson, Corey in Iowa, and here it is.
It's over.
It's the bandwagon fan transfer.
Not that.
Sign it.
Done.
Nope.
Sign it.
And it's Paul Sorvino from Goodfellas saying, now I got to turn my back on you.
No, there's wording in that I just don't agree.
Parsing language?
There was language in that.
So stupid. Could it get any dumber?
No, I mean, you're talking about me, Rich. It can't get any tougher.
Last night was awesome. I mean, last night was great. But, you know, again.
Got to do that in a series.
It got a little too close for comfort. And then the guy that Yankees acquired for Nestor Cortez. Had an actual great inning. And Devin Williams, when he was coming in there, I'm like, if he's got a can of gas in his hand, I'm going to lose my mind. So, Kevin Smith is, I believe, stuck in traffic.
Oh,
see
no.
If you can make it. But O'Shea's here.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is here. We'll take a break.
He heard
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's talk about Brunt work boots, people. When I got my set of Brunt work boots sent to my house, opened the box, my first thought was, wow, these look amazing. My second thought, once I put them on, I thought, wow, not only are these easy to put on, but they feel incredibly comfortable for a work boot. They deliver the protection also and durability you need on your job site if you wear work boots for a living. And on top of that, Brunt isn't just about work boots. They offer a full range of high-performance gear built for tough jobs, from heavy-duty work pants to weather-resistant jackets. Brunt designs durable, reliable workwear to keep you protected and productive in any condition. They look amazing and, again, feel amazing. Brunt didn't just make a durable work boot. They reinvented comfort for the hardest workers out there. For a limited time, our listeners get $10 off at Brunt by using code RICH at checkout. Just head to bruntworkwear.com. Use my code RICH. You're all set. Even better, Brunt lets you try all their products on the job, risk-free. After you purchase, they'll just ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you.
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced or brake light fixed or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Speaking of fake fans, here's O'Shea Jackson.
Wow. The audacity.
Literally, he sat down in the chair.
I mean,
I want to show everybody here. He sat down in the chair. Did I make eye contact with you at all?
No.
Until
like
literally
six
three,
seconds.
Two. I made eye contact with him, and then I just.
Yep.
Shot the dart.
Hostile work environment.
Nope.
I encourage you to take it up with HR.
Bro, Monday. Listen, as soon as they give me my company badge and parking spot.
Company badge.
Oh, I'm calling. Poor Del Tufo. You're a survivor.
See, I love
survivor.
This guy.
You're a survivor, bro.
That's exactly. They want me to sign that trash document?
Yeah,
there's
man.
There's no way.
Without having legal representation,
exactly.
By the way.
Yeah.
By the way.
He's wanting me to sign it. I wasn't going to do
he's
it.
Just mad.
I got to tell you. I cannot stand going to Dodger Stadium and seeing this business, this whole thing there. And then all of that stuff. And then last night when not even like your dad's like, let's make some noise stuff. Like not even that worked. It was great. The weak ass attempts at the wave ended right around section 15, section 17. Didn't even make it past the bases. Just it was dead. It was awesome.
I could give you
great.
I could give you 18 reasons why that was that way.
Okay,
you know, 18-2.
Oh.
Let you get
before,
one.
But that's baseball, man.
Let's
18 runs one night. Then your former teammate who could barely break a plane of glass with his pitches beat you the next night.
Listen,
your former teammate, you won a ring with him.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's like, we got to let you get that one. Don't you feel good? Don't you feel good coming in on Monday?
All right.
18-2. That's like, I thought I was watching football for a little bit.
I thought it was a Rams.
Man.
This guy. I left. It was a Rams game score.
Right. Everybody gets some. I almost went down there.
This guy. Tommy Edman.
Tommy Edman. Tough Spells Tommy Edman. Name weird, but
tough fine. Tommy Edman.
Yeah.
It is a great place to see a ball game.
It is.
It really is.
Let me ask you a question, O'Shea Jackson.
Let me, give you an answer,
let me start with this way. If you had a friend.
Okay.
If you had a friend that was a diehard Knicks fan his entire life.
Okay.
And you were, actually, let's reverse it. Let's start with this. If you had a diehard fellow Laker fan your entire life, you've known this person for a long time, like two decades. And you share times talking about the great moments of Lakerdom and then the crushing blows of Lakerdom, right? And you share these moments together with that person. And then they automatically turn around and say to you, you know what? I'm a Celtic fan. I'm a Celtic fan, and they do that just after the Celtics win it all. Would you accept this person as a Laker fan?
Are we really all Celtics?
Excuse me. This is a hypothetical for the most diehard Laker fan I know. That's you.
Yeah.
Okay? If you knew somebody who was a fellow Laker fan for two decades, it was, you shared all of this stuff, and they turn around the year after the Celtics win it all and go, you know what? I don't mind the Celtics. What would you say to that person? You welcome them back to the Lakers?
Number one, I feel you, and I would definitely have some discourse against them coming back. But I also recognize that this is a trap set against my client, Michael Del Tufo, which once again adds to our claim of a hostile work environment.
No.
Hypothetical, Your Honor. Throw it out.
Excuse me. The only reason why this isn't an apples for apples is Mike's not from Los Angeles.
I've lived here more than I've lived in New Jersey at this point.
You, sir, have spent your entire time with me that I've known you.
Yeah.
We bonded over Yankee this, that. Yankee this. You never once breathed like, you know what? I love Matt Kemp. Not once did you look at me and go, you know what? These Andre Ethier times are a little bit dry, but we're going to come back.
Chin up, Cam.
You know what I mean? We're going to do this thing. You know what? Jim Tracy's not really the manager I think he can be. What a bunch of crap.
I was a big Fernando Valenzuela fan. I like that guy.
What are you talking about? You have to recognize as the captain of this ship that trauma is a real thing in today's climate,
I'm traumatized.
We all remember what happened in 2020 when I had to call in. My man TJ was ready to throw the Clippers into the ocean. But he is back and he's strong. Right now he's going through trauma, which might be from the worst inning in Yankees history, the fifth inning of last year's World Series. Let him breathe. Let him grieve.
And the best
you cannot tell people how to handle grief. I got your back, Mike.
Hey, thank you. See that?
My word.
What an outrage.
Richard Eisen, my God.
Who's on your pod?
we're gonna do a recap of wrestling. We got a big PLE, as they call it, premium live event.
Yes.
Money in the Bank is going to be in Los Angeles, along with Worlds Collide with NXT and AAA. So we have a lot of things to talk about, a lot of predictions, and you're going to get a lot of TJ and a lot of O'Shea Jackson Jr., and that's what you need every Monday.
No contest wrestling, everybody.
Right. Thank you. Blessings, Mike.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm glad that we got you out here now because Kevin Smith's about to finish up our show.
Fantastic. So,
ladies and gentlemen, O'Shea Jackson. Spinning for Mike Del Tufo with a bunch of bull crap I can't even keep up with.
Yeah, man. Big three, June 14th.
Oh, my God.
There's no crap.
What a crap tornado that was.
O'Shea, I
love all right.
Tornado.
Kevin Smith is coming out here. Rich Ackerman with a sports update. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. basically in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit Ebglyss.Lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
All right, this man's back on the Rich Eisen Show. La Dogma is back in movie theaters, although it hasn't been 25 years since he was last on the program. The writer-director, Kevin Smith, is here.
Hey, oh, my God.
It is a
like herpes, kids. You can't shake Kevin Smith ever since he infected the culture 31 years ago. How are you? I was looking forward to this.
Thank you.
I came on. What was the last thing I was here for? Rob would know. Probably not even 4:30 movie. Go even further back.
A long time
like
ago.
Like Clerks 3. But you pop up in my algorithm awesome. quite often.
I'll take it.
And it's always somebody sitting here that every time, with all due respect, I'm like, he's pulling good guests.
I appreciate that,
like,
man.
So at this point, when he was, like, before he even finished saying your name, I was like, oh, I'm in.
I love it. Thank you for that.
I notice I'm not on the wall out there, but
well,
whatever.
Well, we can fix that. And on top of it,
too.
Before the radio audience returns, let's take a look at This Is Dogma, again, originally released in November of 99, back in theaters on Thursday, June 5th.
It's so wild because Matt Damon looks like Matt Damon's daughter in this movie. He's so young. So young. Yeah, I've been on tour with this movie for the last month and change. We did 20 cities across the United States, and then I just got back from Cannes, where the film played in the Cannes Classics section. And so I've been watching this movie over and over again every night with packed houses, and it's been delightful because I get to see some of my favorite people at their absolute youngest.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, we're all babies up there. Like, we kicked off the tour Easter Sunday, 4:20, in Los Angeles. Nice. And Jason Mewes, Jay to My Silent yes. Bob, was there, and he was leaning on the wall next to me, and we're watching the movie in the beginning. And I'm looking up at a baby-faced, cherubic Jason Mewes, who's stealing the show from, like, literally everybody, including Ben and Matt, including Alan Rickman. And so he's to my right, and I want to go tell him. And I go from looking at the baby face Jay up on the screen to the withered crypt keeper to my right, the crone he's become. We're all so damn old. What's crazy about that clip, too, is like it ends, the girl in the elevator spits. That's my high school girlfriend, Kim Loughran.
Dude. Oh,
wow.
I mean,
wow.
It's
only
just
ever spitted in the movie.
And I was also Dan of the Dan Band and a cheesehead behind you right there.
Also
Kevin
Brian
Smith.
Quinn from Impractical right. Jokers
again,
in the background.
It's awesome.
Never
man.
Mind just Ben and Matt in the foreground. Brian Quinn.
I just love this whole, you know, reunion with a movie in a way by showing it again. I've got Kevin Smith here. Our radio audience has just returned. We saw a clip of Dogma. Hello. Originally in theaters in 1999, 25th anniversary of the classic, starts to return to theaters near you this very week on June the 5th. And Kevin Smith is here. You mentioned just seeing, I mean, you're seeing Chris Rock back in the day. You're seeing the whole cast from back of Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. And then you see two who have since, you know, passed on, and Alan Rickman and George Carlin.
Yeah, we got lucky. We've got two legendary performances by two icons, you know, one in the world of comedy and the other in the world of acting or performance. Alan, we got by accident. I never would have pursued Alan because I loved Alan Rickman as an actor. And the idea of putting him in a Kevin Smith movie is just like, you know, I liked him too much for that. But he reached out to us. My exec at the time, John Gordon, who was at Miramax, called up and he goes, "You'll never believe who just came in for a meeting." I said, "Who?" He goes, "Alan Rickman." I said, "Hans Gruber was in the building? Did he blow it up?" And he goes, "No, we're trying to get him to be in this new Merchant Ivory movie." I said, "What'd he say?" He said, "He didn't want to talk about that. He just wanted to talk about whoever made Chasing Amy." I was like, "I made Chasing Amy." He was like, "He's a huge fan, dude. We should send him a script." So we sent him the script for Dogma and said, "Would you play the voice of God?" Fastest yes I ever got from an actor in my life, shy of Jason Mewes, who says yes before I finish the title.
Yes.
Alan Rickman received the script from FedEx or via FedEx or whatever, or DHL or International Service in London less than 2 hours after he got the script. He called me. He was like, "I'm in." So what an amazing performance from an absolute icon. And on my Instagram right now, today I put up, we found his deal memo. I've got my own movie theater, Smog Castle Cinemas. So a couple weeks ago, we did our Dogma screenings while I was on tour. Mm-hmm. And we went digging through the archives to find like cool Dogma stuff. And we found the deal memos that we sent to like Alan, to Ben and Matt. And it's like, you know, "Dear Patrick Whitesoul, we're gonna offer your client Alan Rickman the part of Metatron. We're offering scale plus 10, which is like the movie minimum wage.
Yeah, right.
Like it's so low. And he did it. He gave us that amazing performance for movie minimum wage. Carlin, I pursued, because Carlin was a, you know, family heirloom. Carlin was a gift to me from my father when I was 9 years old, when he gave me Class Clown and said, "Do not let your mother hear you listening to this." You know? So, you know, I grew up with Carlin, and my father loved Carlin, and I loved my father, so there's a damn good chance I was going to love George Carlin, and I did. And one day I made a movie, and then I got to make another movie, and the third movie, because of the third movie, they let me make the fourth, and we got this character in it in Dogma, Cardinal Glick. So I was like, We have to get George Carlin
to play a cardinal.
To play a cardinal.
Like a well-known atheist.
Yeah, I mean, let's say, I like to think of George as a lapsed Catholic.
Okay.
You know, you want to put him in the atheist category, that's
okay.
fine. But
okay,
he was
sure.
probably the world's most famous lapsed Catholic, okay. As I like to think
of. I will accept that,
so
then, sure.
We reached out to his manager, Jerry, because we were like, let's find out, man. We'll make him an offer to be in a movie. Like, he doesn't act nearly enough. Mm-hmm. So you say, "Hey man, this is Kevin Smith. Scott Mojo is my producer." I said, "We made Clerks." And Jerry's like, "I don't know what that is." And I was like, "All right, then you ain't gonna know the second movie is Mallrats." And he goes, "Never heard of it." I was like, "Well, we made a movie recently. It's getting good press, Chasing Amy." He's like, "Nope, never heard of that."
Oh boy.
And I was like, "Well, we co-executive produced Good Will Hunting." He goes, "Ben and Matt, I know those guys." And I was like, "Okay, well, we're making the new Ben and Matt movie, man. We want George to be in it." And he goes, "George, you want George to be a comic in your movie?" I said, "No, I want him to act. I got a role for him." He goes, "What's the role?" I said, "He'd play a Catholic cardinal." He goes, "Oh, George, I love that." But he cursed quite a bit, which I guess we can.
Right.
So it was, he set up a meeting where I got to meet George. And it's a very touching story I've told many, many times. But he goes, "I love your script. Because it messes with the church. I have to always edit and take out the bad words. It messes with the church." He's going, "But we got a problem. My wife just passed away." And his wife had passed away within the last like week, two weeks of this meeting. I said, "I know, I'm real sorry." He goes, "Me too, man. She was a cool lady. I'm going to miss her." And he goes, "Because of that, I'm not ready to take off my wedding band just yet. And I know I'd have to as a Catholic cardinal, so we find ourselves in an impasse. But I had an idea last night. If you let me put a Band-Aid around my wedding band in the movie, I can wear my wedding band in real life and still be in the movie, play the Catholic cardinal. You know, what do you think?" I was like, "I think I wish you were my father, man. That's the most beautiful thing I ever heard. You can wear as many Band-Aids as you want." So he was, most people don't know the thing about George he wanted to act more than anything else. Kind of backed into being one of the greatest comedians of all time.
Right.
That wasn't his aim. He wanted to be Danny Kaye because his mom was a big Danny Kaye fan, and he wanted to, you know, make his mom happy and stuff. So he wanted to act, and that was the one thing I could give him, even though they were Kevin Smith movies. Like, he got to act, and he dropped like a performance in this movie that I had to keep pushing. I said, just be more George Carlin. And he wanted to like truly inhabit the character. He was a method actor. And I was just like, oh, I know, gosh. But this part only works if you're George Carlin. Just do it in George Carlin's voice. And so every movie we ever did in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, he plays a hitchhiker who offers road comfort to a truck driver. Like, that's it, man. It's like, you don't got to be Daniel Day-Lewis and get into the inner life of the character. It's a one-note joke, right? And he came up to me on set, and he goes, Kevin, I have a question for you as the author of this piece. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, I'm talking about the unwritten book of the road. Do I believe that? Is my character believing that? Or am I messing with you two guys? And I was like, George, you've already given the script more thought than I ever did when I wrote it. I was like, so, but if I had to pick a side of the fence, I always assumed your character believed in what he was saying. He goes, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. That's the intention I'm going to play. And I was like, George, I think it's adorable that you're giving it this much thought, but like, you could phone this one in, man. You're just the hitchhiker who gives road comfort to the trucker. And he goes, Kevin, you don't know anything about the subtle art of performance, do you? And I said, no, enlighten me. And he goes, I'm an actor, which means it's my job to tell the lie that tells the truth. In order to do that, I need as much emotional honesty and data as possible. I need to hold up or suspend the window of disbelief so your audience can crawl into your magical world. So I don't ask you these questions to be an unctuous actor who demands attention. I simply need to know how deeply you want me to throat this guy. And I was like, I don't know, this much. He goes, that's what I thought. That's the intention I'm going to play. He was absolutely wonderful. Yeah.
What a story, man.
That's amazing. Awesome.
One you could share with your mom. It was so cleanly, you know,
well
self-edited.
Done.
Thank you.
Kevin Smith.
My mom will be like, why can't you do that every time?
Is it true you were looking at Sam Jackson for the role that went to Chris Rock?
Yeah.
And you met Chris
God,
Rock.
Yeah.
And
that's, you know what's crazy? I've been doing interviews and I've been doing Q&As after like the two screenings the night we had on the road. Nobody's brought that up. People brought up like deep cut stuff, but I forgot. Yeah, we wanted Sam Jackson.
For the Chris Rock role.
And Chris Rock lobbied to get the role. Chris Rock was like, I easily said, I goes, I know you want Sam Jackson, because we were coming off of Pulp Fiction at that point,
yes,
right? Like Pulp
sure.
Fiction had only happened a few years ago. And we were making the movie at Miramax, same place. But Chris loved the script, man. And I loved Chris. I loved him when he was on SNL as Nat X and stuff. And in I'm Gonna Get You Suck It, let alone before he had dropped the album Roll With The New, and he was becoming huge. He was becoming the Chris Rock that the culture knows today. So we were lucky to get him in that moment in time, and he had any interest in the script whatsoever. But he checked in and checked in and kept going like, I want this part, I want this part. He was a big fan of Chasing Amy, is what he had said. He said, I'm going to do this movie because when you write the next Chasing Amy, I want the Ben Affleck part. And wisely, he never waited for me to do that. He made a movie, wrote and directed years ago, called Top Five, which is like his version of Chasing Amy, which is an excellent, excellent film. It's worth watching and stuff. So yeah, man, we had as the kids say today, a fire cast, all of which people are like still working today. I miss Linda Fiorentino. Linda Fiorentino was our lead, and she played Bethany, and she was coming off of, at that moment in time, Men in Black. At the end of the movie, she's standing next to Will Smith, and she's like the next Man in Black. But I was a massive fan of Gotcha back in the 80s when I was a kid, as well as Vision Quest. Oh. And so she was coming off of Last Seduction. Remember that movie?
Oh,
the John Dahl picture?
Berg.
Yep. Oh, with Pete Berg.
Damn.
Pete Berg, man, before he was a director himself.
Yes.
And of course, what's his name? The president from Independence Day.
Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman, who's like in on the hustle. Fantastic Hell John Dahl picture that she should have been nominated for an Academy Award because she would have won. But if you remember, Showtime aired it once at like midnight. night before it ever hit theaters, and that disqualified it
from Oscar contention. Oh, man, I didn't know
that. So we were lucky to get Linda Mann. I was a huge Last Seduction fan. Anybody who sees it is. And I watch her performance like every night on tour, and I appreciate it in ways I never did as a kid. It's so damn subtle, and you need that. Everyone else is larger than life because they're playing characters from heaven and hell and dead people. And she's the audience's way in. She's the Marilyn in this Munsters bunch. So as I've been watching it for the last month, I'm like, God, she really honored our film with this performance. She's amazing. Salma Hayek is amazing in the movie. It's crazy. It's an embarrassment of riches. Ben and Matt, of course. Yeah, and then Jason Mewes, who literally steals the show from everybody else.
And Dogma, again, back in theaters June 5th. We've got a hard out on our radio TV show, to use the phrase, in about 3 minutes.
Erotically charged.
I know that. I understand that. they're going to drop us off the radio and the television.
Is that sex talk as well? It sounded filthy, too. No wonder they're getting rid of it.
In the 2 minutes, yes. I have, when did you meet Matt and Ben? I know that's a long story.
I met Ben for a Mallrats audition. Right. I had read about him in the trades because him and Matt had just sold Good Will Hunting to Castle Rock.
Right.
So, you know, two actors sell a script for $800,000. I was like, good Lord, that's almost $1 million. So he was coming in that day. I'll never forget Jim Jacks, who was our producer on the movie, late, great Jim Jacks. He's since passed. He went on to make, like, the Mummy movies and stuff like that. He produced Days of Confused. He goes, Ben Affleck's coming in today. And I was like, oh, that's O'Banion from Days of Confused. He goes, yeah, but he's got a potty mouth. We put him in Days of Confused, and the F count went up on that movie by 800%. So he's going, I don't want him in this movie. You got enough Fs in this movie and stuff. And so Ben comes in, and he sits down, and I was like, hey, man, what are you doing here? I heard you just sold the script. I read you guys made $800,000. He's like, how'd you know that? I was like, it's in the trades. He's like, you read the trades? I was like, yeah, it's part of our business. He goes, yeah, I made $800,000. I said, then what are you doing here? We're paying scale in this movie. And he goes, I thought Clerks was pimp. And that was enough. Right then and there. I was like, I love this guy. So we cast him as a bully in Mallrats, kind of like typecast him based on Days Confused. But after that flick, or working on Mallrats with him, that's where I got to know him, fell in love with him and stuff. So when I wrote Chasing Amy, I wrote him the male lead, and I remember I called him like when I was halfway through the script, because I was like, I didn't even tell this guy, he might not want it. So I was like, yo, Affleck, I was like, I'm writing my next flick for you to play the male lead. And there's dead silence, and he goes, finally. And I gave him the first half of the Chasing Amy script, and he had to get on a train to go to Boston and stuff. And he's like, dang, this ain't long enough to get me to, like, Connecticut. I said, oh, well, here's a script for this movie I wrote called Dogma. That'll get you all the way home. So when he called me when he got back to Boston, I said, what'd you think of Chasing Amy? He goes, guy falls in love with a lesbian. Real nice. But this Dogma movie, man, I got to be in this one day. And he eventually was. Look at that. We hit the post.
I've been around. Affleck, also the bomb in Phantoms, yo.
Thank you. Look at that deep cuts right there,
deep
man.
Cuts.
Jane, Silent Bob, Strike Back reference. 24 years old this year, that movie.
And Dogma
next year's 25th anniversary.
And Dogma returns to movie theaters for its 25th anniversary, Thursday, June 5th.
You can just go see it in a movie theater for like $10, even less than a
matinee. Kevin Smith, everybody.
Thank you.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
Inside the opening 45 seconds. What a goal! With that cannon of a left foot. All even at one.
Never miss a game.
What a start for the United States.
Shot for distance. What a goal!
Never miss a moment.
Exquisite from the San Diegan.
Can he finish? Yes, he can!
Yeah! The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.